There are a few opportunities when we have the undergrad students connect with our students who are doing graduate work. But today is one. We have a student who is doing, a friend, a sister, a minister, who's doing graduate work. Her name is Karen Gaithers, and she is a friend of God's. I'll just tell you that piece. The woman has understood Jesus' love, understood women in ministry. And in our community, we've been gifted with her gifts to help women discern their gifts, discern their commitments, discern their ministries back into our community. Karen, will you come and share with us what God's placed in your heart this morning? Give her a hand, folks.
Thank you, Dina. Good morning. Y'all out there? As Dina said, my name is Karen Gaithers, and I'm a grad student here at FPU. I'm in the conflict management and peacemaking, and there's a few things that I could probably share, but I think just in general, I'm a woman of God, just like you, who loves the Lord with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength. And I believe that God has called me to speak to women, in particular women with vision. There's many individuals who out there who, just like Paul, just like Ruth, just like Esther, that God speaks to them and shows them some sense of purpose about their lives. And with that, I believe that God has called us to encourage one another, to support one another, to cover one another in prayer. And the ministry that God has put in my heart, Ministries in the Making, does just that. I brought some brochures, and you can put them out in the back there. I'm a mother of three, and that's something that I just absolutely am excited about and love about life is mothering. I'm an advocate of marriage. I attend Mount Olive Church, Baptist Church, where Pastor Ed Lee is the pastor, director of young adult ministry there. And rather excited because I believe some of the young adults are out there in the audience. And so it's a pleasure to be here today. And I believe that God does have a word for you. I have a brief devotional to share with you. And I understand that your theme today is God is, we serve a more than enough God. Is that right? A more than enough God. So let's just bless the word, and I'm going to just say a little prayer and bless the word before we start. And while I'm getting prepared for that, I'd like you to, can you hear me okay? You can hear me okay? I'd like you to turn to Matthew. You have your Bibles with you? I'd like you to turn to Matthew 6, and we're going to start looking at, we're going to read, oh my goodness, I got to run and get my glasses. We're going to read starting at verse 25. Give me one moment. Okay. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your people. We thank you, Father, for all who are gathered here today. Most important, we thank you, Lord, for your word. I surrender myself this moment, Father, as your vessel. I ask, O God, that the word that you have prepared would be planted in their hearts, Father, and that it would grow deep roots, Lord, and nourish their lives, Father, for the days and the years, the days and the months and the years to come. We ask, God, that your presence would truly fill this place all the more. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Okay. Starting at Matthew 6, starting at verse 25, it says, the subtitle here is, Do Not Worry. And it says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow and is thrown into the fire, will he not the more and more clothe you? O ye of little faith! So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first, and this is the key theme of this passage for me today. Seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough troubles of their own. Each day has enough troubles of their own. I'm gonna put this down here for now. So the scripture text says, do not worry. What I'd like to do first is look at the scripture from what I call apparent wisdom. For example, I know that air exists. We know that air is out there, right? While we may not see it, we can feel it. We see its effects, so we know it's there. That's apparent to us. So with this passage, I'd like to look first at the apparent wisdom and then allow that to lead us to divine wisdom. And what I mean by that is that it's that fresh revelation that the Spirit of God speaks to you when you're reading his word. And with that, let's see what God is saying to us today. So in verse 25, it says, do not worry about life. It seems that Jesus is implying that we have a tendency to define our lives by what we eat or drink or wear. Now, I know that may sound kind of absurd because, I mean, do you really wake up going and worrying about what am I going to eat and what am I going to drink and what I'm going to wear today? We may think about it or plan it, but in the sense of worrying about it, do we really do that? So it may seem a little absurd to us just to think about it that way. But I think Jesus was onto something, or he saw something more deeper. And when we consider for a moment the instruments in the world like television, music, books, and magazines, what do we see in them? We see the cares of the world. We see sex. We see beauty. We see food. We see fashion, and even magic and spirituality. When you look at television, you look at the magazines, the theme of all the programs that come on, it's all centering around what are we going to drink, wear, our beauty, all those things. And as I said, inherent in them, we see a passion for control and power. That is apparent. We don't need a rocket scientist to tell us that. And even in Matthew 6:21, it says, where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Jesus then asked the question, isn't life more than food, and isn't the body more important than clothes? What I find truly amazing about this is that some things never change. Some things just never change. The life worries and treasures then are the same as they are now. How many thousands of years ago was that? And what we see is that some things, in regards to what we focus on and what we spend our time worrying about, never change. And that's because human makeup doesn't change. Our sinfulness without Christ doesn't change. So you see year after year and generation after generation, the same things that we focus on. Let's look more closely then at Jesus' response. I'm going to open this up again. Are you guys with me? I'm going to look at, and I'm going to reread Matthew 26 and 30. And I'm going to focus on just those particular passages this time. Put my eyes on here. So, 26 says, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them." And then in 30 he says, "If that is how God clothes the grass and the fields, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not the more clothe you?" Okay? And so I believe Jesus is saying to them, put this over here for now. I believe Jesus is saying to them, this is the small aspects of nature. And you were created that much more than that. And if he takes care of them, would he not take care of you? Jesus' response to them was, "O ye of little faith." I believe Jesus identifies that our concern about these things is not the lack of them, but more the lack in our faith regarding them. Jesus is calling them, he's calling us, he's calling you to have a paradigm shift in your thinking. This is not just a poverty matter of where Jesus is merely meeting the needs of the poor. This is more of a cultural matter in the way they thought and in the way they lived. Divine wisdom tells me that Jesus is illustrating a comparative look at two distinct species of God's creation to that of mankind. He's looking at plants and animals and saying, in the order in which they were created. I'm going to say that again. In the order in which they were created to live and exist in the earth, God has incorporated a natural order for their provision through each of their unique design. In the order in which they were created, God has incorporated a natural order for their provision through each of their unique design, and their provision is tied to their relationship with God. So Jesus is saying to his people, so it is with you, your unique design. The Father has also built your provision for you in the order in which you, as a human being, in the order in which God has created you, he has built in or incorporated a natural order for your provision, and it's tied to your relationship with God. And this is how it's done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek his kingdom, seek his government, seek his laws, seek his principles, seek the influential instruments that God is using for us to focus on, that we find in his word. Seek those things in God. Seek, and then the other one is, seek ye first his righteousness. Seek what God defines as right and good and true. As I was raising my children, and I said I have three of them, I often said to them, don't obey God just because he said so. You know how sometimes as mothers we can say, just do it because I said so. Well, I said to them, don't obey God just because he said so, but obey him because you trust in his truths. You trust in his truths beyond your own. God's kingdom has many things in life for us to seek, to apply this paradigm shift in our perspective and relationship with him. The simple principle unlocks the book of life that was authored by God. Relationship with God. Relationship with each other. We can discover more about marriage, how to live single, finances. It's all in him. raising children, how to be a godly employee, how to be a godly employer, manager, supervisor. God is speaking His word, His principles, His government speaks on all of this. How to manage conflict, how to live in the spirit and in truth, how to walk in your spiritual gifts, your role as an encourager, as a friend, and as a confidant. Every aspect of your life, from the least to the greatest of all we do, God's principles will lead us to God's provision by seeking Him first. So indicative to the way we have been created, we can be assured that our God is a more than enough God. How do we know that? Because greater is God that is in you than he that is in the world. If God is in you, then you know because of the way that you have been created in His image, He has built everything in you. And your life is to begin seeking after all that He has spoken on. If we can pull up the PowerPoint for a minute, get that ready. I'm going to take a moment to just declare some things over your life as women. I believe some of you are probably living lives where, think of this way, as a machine, a car. You know, we are functioning, we are operating, and sometimes we may not be hooked up right. And the car is going, you know, comparing like a brand new car and maybe a used car that's been, you've been, you know, driving it for 20 years or more. You know, all the parts are there, some of them might be worn out, and it's hooked up, but it's operating, but not really to its full capacity. And it's functioning, it's just kind of compensating. And then, and much like our bodies, you know, when we are working out or we might injure ourselves, when you injure yourself, your body has a way to keep going, but other organs and other parts of your body will compensate just to keep you going. The body's been designed to do that. It's magnificent, but it's been designed to do that. But you're not functioning in your full capacity, and it's because you may not be hooked up just right. And part of that could be by leaning on our own understanding, maybe not even being aware of how perfectly God created you to walk in His purpose and to walk in His principles, and not necessarily knowing how to rightly apply His principles. And so I believe that sometimes we may feel a little worn out. We may feel overextended. We may feel stressed and depressed. Our joy is not genuine. Have you ever been there where you felt like, I'm a believer, but yet I'm just not feeling the joy that I know I should be feeling as a believer? I'm so pulled this way to the world, and it just looks like it's better that way. And leaning on to your own understanding, figuring out, going back to your old ways of doing things or reasoning in your own understanding. And you just don't have that joy like you know you should, not operating in full capacity. And so at sometimes you might even feel like, I'm just going to break down. Something's got to change. I need more of God. And I'm saying today that it begins with this principle of seeking God first in every aspect of your life and realizing that by your nature, in the way that you have created, He has built in every provision for every aspect of life that you could possibly think of. And that makes Him to you a more than enough God. That's a funny way to spell enough, huh? E-N-U-F-F. But I wanted to create something that was easy for you to remember. I want you to say this with me. Can you read that up there? I serve a more than enough God. Therefore, I am always sufficient with what He has given. Say that for me again.
I serve a more than enough God.
with what he has given. Let's look at what the first E stands for. You can move it. Exceptional. You are an exceptional woman. You were created by God. I decree and declare in the name of Jesus that you are exceptional, that you recognize that he created you different from men, and that you're exceptional in that right, and that God has purposed in you, gave you your hair, gave you your racial makeup, gave you your voice, everything about you. There's something very unique and specific and exceptional and glorious about you being a woman today. And I decree and declare that the light comes on and that you see that and realize that for yourself. Let's see what N says. Never. You are never going to settle for less because you are exceptional, because you are peculiar, you are set apart because he made you that way. You can never settle for less. You will never settle for less for what anybody will speak to you. I don't care how wonderful or how fine he is. I don't care what opportunity that presents itself to you. You will never settle for less. Otherwise, you're going to live a life of compensating. So never settle for less. What does the next one say? You. Understanding. I decree and declare that you are understanding of God's word, his will, and his purposes for your life. That you see with 20/20 vision, that you hear with clarity, and able to discern and understand the things that God is speaking to you today and every day. You are full understanding. And the next one, the last slide. Full of faith. I decree and declare that you are full of faith to please God and to bear fruit with your life, because you are seeking him and rightly hooked up to him, that you are now going to bear the fruit that he's purposed in your life from the day he created you, from the day he brought you into this world, in the name of Jesus.